Dawn Jackson Blattner, our friend who is the nutritionist and dietitian. She's the author of, what's the name? Hey, Dawn, what's the name of your book? I want to introduce you properly.
Oh, hey, John. Well, thank you. I have two, The Flexitarian Diet and Superfood Swap.
Superfood Swap and The Flexitarian Diet. I can still get those books online, right? I can order them from Amazon or somewhere, Dawn?
Yes, they're on Amazon.
How many copies have you sold?
Oh, my gosh. I have, you know what? I need to look up that information. I don't know, but every so often, these little books do give me a royalty check. So I'm very appreciative of it. And I really do think the, especially Superfood Swap, what I like about it is that it's eat foods you crave, but make it with better for you ingredients. So there's things like tacos and pasta and burgers, mac and cheese, all sorts of desserts. But just, you know, like with all the foods we always talk about, more of the, you know, wholesome foods to make those recipes.
That's Superfood Swap. And this is nutritionist and dietitian Dawn Jackson Blattner, who joins us many Thursdays to just talk to us a little bit about healthy food. I went to a Super Bowl party. Our friends Kevin and Renee threw a very nice Super Bowl party. Brenda and I were lucky enough to go. A friend of mine named John walks in with a tray and he goes, "I've got Dawn's deviled eggs." He was very proud of himself. I didn't try them because I don't eat deviled eggs usually, but that was your recommendation. You can still have deviled eggs, just find a healthier way to make it.
I love that. I think that's wonderful. And, you know, one of the things that I always get excited about is when you can make special events, a whole mix of foods that you love, foods that are good for you, foods that are sentimental. And that's really what this should all be about. You know, the mix, the balance, the fun.
So we missed you last week. Where were you? Were you in New York City?
Well, I have to say, yes, I was in New York City. And one of the things that I did while I was there was on television about 20 different markets across the country talking all about heart health because, you know, it's February. It's already almost mid-February. But, you know, I would be remiss not to talk a little bit about heart health when February comes around because, you know, it is a good reminder that our heart is working hard for us every single day, every single minute, you know, it's beating for us. And the foods we eat can help support it. So I was on television talking primarily about one particular food. I was talking about sweet potatoes. And I think they don't get enough love when it comes to heart health. And why they're so good is fiber, potassium, and vitamin A. They have those three nutrients that really help support cholesterol levels. They help support blood pressure. So I was sharing some fun sweet potato recipes on air and really encouraging people to enjoy sweet potatoes.
What's a simple sweet potato recipe other than bake it and eat it?
Oh, well, hey, I like where your head's at with that. I think simple is definitely important. I talked about a creamsicle smoothie. I talked about a social media famous recipe called a hot honey sweet potato bowl. But I think the easiest one that I like personally and I talked about on TV was a fajita stuffed sweet potato. So it's just sweet potato halves and you season, it was chicken, peppers, and onions with like fajita seasoning or taco seasoning. And you just put that topping right on the half of a baked sweet potato and it makes a great lunch or a very super easy dinner.
Oh, what do people call that where they take a baked potato and they, a loaded baked potato, but a loaded sweet potato, just don't put a lot of bacon on there, huh?
Yeah, I you know what, had I talked to you, I probably would have changed the name for TV. I really like that idea of calling it a loaded sweet potato.
You know what Brenda will do sometimes is just take a sweet potato and slice it into sort of thick strips like big French fries, and then she sprinkles, what would it be, Dawn, maybe paprika or something on there?
Yeah, chili powder is also a really popular seasoning for sweet potatoes.
And I love that. That's really tasty and probably healthy, right?
Yes, I mean, incredibly healthy. Like, when you think about a sweet potato, you know, yes, I talked to you about, like, it has fiber and potassium and vitamin A. Those are, like, three main nutrients in there. But a lot of people are surprised that a medium sweet potato is just 100 calories. So, you know, we don't talk that much about calories, but a lot of people, you know, shy away from sweet potatoes because they're like, oh my gosh, there's so many carbs in there. No, they're fairly low in calories and they have all this nutrition and really fill you up. So I tell a lot of my clients to do an experiment where they're having, you know, a salad or they're having, you know, anything that tends not to fill them up. And then to just have, you know, some like sweet potato croutons on it or add sweet potatoes to a meal on the side. and you feel so much more full because of that fiber and all that good nutrition. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of sweet potatoes.
You cook them in your air fryer?
Oh, hey, John, you know I do. I just love my air fryer for sweet potatoes. I do either cubes or I do like sort of how you and Linda do with the, you know, more like wedges or fry shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they both work great in the air fryer.
So you're in New York and they sit you in a studio and you say, hello, Cleveland, all day long. Is that what you did?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I am in the studio and there's a few cameras in there. There's like a director and then they call all the TV stations. So you start usually in the New York markets and Florida and then you just sweep the country until you end in California. And yes, so you're saying hi to all these cities along the way. And, you know, yesterday I was encouraging the sweet potatoes.
And one last thing about that. So as you then are saying hello to San Diego and everybody else, and chit-chatting with them, and it's, I can just imagine the sofa, and they're sitting there, and you're on the screen, and you're talking, were you showing them the food too, Don, that sort of thing?
Yes, we had the food there on display. You know, you always have to make people hungry when, you know, you're talking about the food, so we definitely had it there.
And did you judge that some of the people on the sofa that you were talking to were really terrific, and you liked talking to them, and some of them you think, I got to walk these mopes through this thing? I mean, come on already.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I have been obviously spoiled because I am with John Williams every week. So, yes, nothing can match the king. You know that.
It's not where I was going. Okay, it's 11:45. So, Don, hold on, and I want to read some questions from our listeners. Do you mind?
That sounds great.
And maybe you've got a question, too. And incidentally, here's another topic that I know Don has talked about lately. If you have a sweet tooth, research says that snacking on this can help decrease your sweet cravings and improve the overall quality of your diet. I don't know what that is, though, Don. What's the best or healthiest salt to consume?
Ooh, okay. So it is confusing out there because there are so many different varieties. However, all of them still contain sodium, which is the thing that we're all supposed to be, you know, monitoring and not going overboard. But for most people, one of the key words to look for is iodized. So you can get like sea salt with iodine. And the reason being why we even started supplementing salt with iodine is that we need that for a healthy thyroid. Ah. And so a lot of people who are doing all like these specialty like pink Himalayan salts and sea salts and things, they're buying ones without that iodine. And these people are oftentimes very, very healthy eaters, too. So they're eating a lot of cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower and kale and Brussels sprouts. And when you eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables without enough iodine, it actually is very hard on your thyroid. So that's why I say, you know, when I'm purchasing salt, I'm getting sea salt with iodine. And that is a really good solution.
Well,
for
this
overall
listener
health.
Says a friend recently told me pink Himalayan salt is the healthiest. What do you think of that?
Well, so that would be one of the cases that primarily what that is it's still mostly sodium. However, there are some extra nutrients in there, very, 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 very small levels of minerals that are in a pink Himalayan salt rather than like a typical, you know, table salt that you would get. So, yes, you are getting these minerals. But here's the question. You know, are you using enough of that to actually get an impact of those extra minerals? And the answer hopefully should be no.
Right.
You know, that you're not using that much of it to even get those extra minerals.
Right. So, I would have to use so much salt. I would have to consume so much sodium that otherwise the trace doesn't matter that much, right?
Exactly. So the trace minerals that you get in there are in fact extra above and beyond a regular table salt. So that is the true part. But the actual practical part is you're not using that much of it to get those benefits. And like I said, the big thing is you buying those things like a pink Himalayan salt, and it does not have iodine, which many of them do not. You need to look in your diet for other places to get iodine, and there's not that many. It would be things like seaweed, for example, that you would need to pay attention to balance out the fact that you're not getting it in your salt.
What's the sweet tooth substitute you like?
Oh, my gosh. This is one of the coolest studies I've seen. John, yeah. I got to tell you, you know, I love certain studies, but this one is out of control. So this study was very recently done with 84 people. They were split into two groups. One group ate tree nuts daily, so mixed nuts. And they had almonds, walnuts, pecans, macadamia, hazelnut, pistachios, and cashews, so a mixed nut group. The other half of these 84 people were asked to eat a typical high carbohydrate snack. So things like pretzels, graham crackers, granola bars, okay? And so they watched these two groups, the one group eating mixed nut, the one group eating all of these like carby snacks that most people do eat anyway. And in 16 weeks, what happened was the tree nut group, the mixed nut group eating group, had so much less cravings for sweet food. So we're talking cookies, ice cream, brownies. They wanted less of it. They also wanted less fast food. And not only that, their diet quality improved over those 16 weeks by eating the mixed nuts. And what happens when you eat mixed nuts? My gosh, nothing to their weight, even though they were eating all these extra calories. The nut group ended up not having any changes in their weight, but the high carb group did show small increases in their weight in just that 16-week time. So moral of the story is when you are thinking about snack time, think very much about adding these mixed nuts. The groups ended up eating mixed nuts twice a day, and it was like a handful, about a fourth of a cup each time. So that's, I mean, it's not a little bit of nuts. I mean, you can have a good hearty portion, that half or fourth of a cup twice, and people really found benefit with those cravings.
Do you forgive us if we have the honey glaze on it or the smoky kind of flavoring on them? I mean, there's a lot of flavors that you get added to nuts.
Yeah, this particular study, to really, you know, if you want to emulate the results totally, they were using roasted nuts, but not salted or flavored. So if you're really like, oh my gosh, I want to see if I can get the study results too,
yeah,
I would suggest using that, the roasted version, but not salted or sweetened. However, I always say that, you know, if it is something that you enjoy eating, so you're like, I love these honey mixed nuts, you know, you could buy a bag of honey mixed nuts and a bag of the plain unsweetened version,
yeah,
and mix them together and at least get yourself a half and half mix. But I mean, we talk about snacking on mixed nuts all the time, but this is proof that, you know, there's a reason why.
A lot of us have that, but it's called trail mix. And then we also have in there little chocolate chips or M&Ms and raisins or cranberries. And there's some salt in there, sweet, it's addictive. I nosh on that stuff sometimes. And I tell myself, well, I'm getting nuts. It's better than a Hershey bar. Your thoughts?
Yes, I would agree with you. It's better than a Hershey bar for sure. There is this weird, interesting scientific thing called sensory-specific satiety. It's SSS. And that is, the more flavors that are in front of you, the more likely you are to overeat. So that is why it is oftentimes easier to stop eating mixed nuts that have nothing else in them, because it's that one consistent flavor. But then you start adding things like raisins and cranberries and little candy pieces, and all of a sudden, naturally, your body wants to overeat because it has this high variety of flavors. So it is better than a Hershey bar, but if you do feel like it's hard to stop, there is science behind why that is.
Hey, Don Jackson-Blattner, are sweet potatoes okay for diabetics to eat?
They're absolutely great. For anybody who's managing blood sugar, doing carbs like a sweet potato that have a lot of fiber and a lot of extra nutrition in them is always smarter than something like a refined carb, like a white pasta, a white rice, a white bread, white crackers. So yeah, oftentimes I usually will get somebody with blood sugar control symptoms that they want help with, and I do a lot of swaps to sweet potatoes from the refined carbs that they're eating.
One last question. Hey, Don, I want to get extra calcium to build bones after an osteoporosis diagnosis. What do I do?
Oh my gosh. So calcium foods are the typical foods that we think of, like yogurt and milk. And so it's making sure that you have enough of those in your diet is huge, because the plant-based sources of calcium aren't always as high as those dairy-based sources. So that's great. But something that people forget a lot when they're talking about bone health is that not only is it the calcium in the foods that you're eating, but also exercise, specifically weight training, actually can help build and protect bone. So don't just, even though I love talking about food and diet and the power of it, don't forget that it also includes weight training to build those bones. And if you are going to take a calcium supplement, one of the biggest things that is instructed with the calcium is to be taking it with a vitamin K2. K2 is one of these police officers, really, of calcium. And when you have calcium, K2 helps tell it to go into your bones and not into your arteries. So talk to your physician if you are going to take a calcium supplement, because you do not want to do it without K2.
Time's up.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
It always is. Superfood Swap, right?
Yes, that's it.
That's one of her books, Dawn Jackson Blattner, the nutritionist and dietitian, who is so generous with her time with us and so very, very helpful. As always, Dawn, thank you. You can follow her on Instagram, DJ Blattner. Her website is dawnjacksonblattner.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.